So tonight, we're going to have a shorter message. We're going to talk about worry. Because there's a lot of things that it's easy to get caught up in. And hopefully tonight you'll be encouraged and equipped with some tools that you can use to avoid worry. And there's 3 points, and I'm just going to dig right into it. And the first thing is a quote from a general, U.S. Army general. Name may not be familiar to you, but the quote probably will be. His name was Creighton Williams Abrams. And he said, "When eating an elephant, take one bite at a time." When eating an elephant, take one bite at a time. And there's some wisdom in that, oftentimes worry appears as an overwhelming, huge problem, and something that we think we have to take all in one swoop. But the reality in conquering it is to take one piece at a time, and you will get through it. Matthew 6:25-27, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" In other words, what can you accomplish by worrying? Now, it's very easy to take everything at once and be overwhelmed. When we think about worry, we tend to jump from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. What about this and what about that? Oh my gosh, I forgot about this, and what are we going to do? And we avoid the elephant entirely and get upset about the lack of progress. Oh my gosh, there's an elephant. I can't possibly take it all in one bite. And, we do something else, and then we come back and look, and the elephant's still there. And we run around and scream and cry and come back, and the elephant's still there. And the key point is the elephant's still there. The problem, the worry, is still there. Because we really haven't done anything practical, and that clues us into something that Jesus was getting at the end of that passage, which is worrying doesn't accomplish anything. It's not productive. It's the opposite of faith. Whereas faith, that is being convinced of something to belief, trusting in God, is edifying, that is, it builds up, it charges you, you leave with more than what you came. Worry is the opposite, it drains you. It leaves you less capable than when you came in. We have to commit to taking that first bite. The beginning of victory over worry or any problem is to commit to resolve yourself to dealing with it. That is the first bite. Because when you pick up that fork and knife and you approach that elephant, no action you take is going to make the entire elephant disappear. But it starts with that. With picking up that fork and knife, with approaching the elephant, and taking that first bite. And that requires you to choose. That requires you to not avoid the problem. That requires you to not let the elephant, that problem, that worry, dictate your focus. You need to choose. Now, why is this so hard? Because it's our nature. It's part of who we are. It's part of our flesh. Our flesh's nature is to worry. Our flesh's nature is to hide. It's in our character, our sinful character, is to run away from problems. But they don't change. Adam and Eve hid from the Lord. In Genesis, it says that they realized that they were naked and afraid. And when the Lord showed up, he said, "Where are you?" He said, "Well, we were naked and I hid from you. I heard you coming." To which leads the Lord to ask, "Who told you you were naked?" As evidence of their sin. But see, the problem, and I'll touch on this a little bit later, the problem separated them from God. And so that's part of who we are. That's part of how we behave. That's part of how we act. And it needs to change. Now, God's nature is very different from ours. And he offers, as part of believing in Jesus, the opportunity to change, to become more like him. Well, what's his nature? His is to confront the problem, to change it, to address it, to not be intimidated by it, to rule over it. An example of that is in Genesis 18, 17 to 19, and it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And so it's an interesting little think out loud with the Lord saying, am I going to hide this from him? The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, where his cousin may be living. Am I going to keep that from him? And should I keep that from him, how can I possibly expect him to teach his children to keep my ways when I'm not willing to share with them my ways? To share with him how I behave, to share with him how I act. Was it a problem for God? Not in the way we have a problem. But it's more of a lesson of, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to hide who I am. I'm not going to hide what I'm doing and what I'm dealing with, because that doesn't solve anything. And what he immediately does is he says what he's doing to Abraham, and he relates with him. You see, the difference between man and God is that man assumes the problem as part of his identity. And God doesn't. God puts himself in place of the problem. God puts his identity as the solution to the problem, whereas man puts his identity as the problem and dwells upon it and worships it. Our goal is not to worship the problem. That's part of our problem. We worship our problems. We bow down before them. We make them rule over us. We go, I can't possibly do this because this problem is greater. But when we put God in the middle of things, doesn't that change everything? And you see, that's the difference. God puts himself in the midst of everything, and it makes it better. So we have to divide and conquer. That's kind of point number one. When you have a problem, when you have something you're worried about, the first thing you need to commit yourself to is, I'm going to deal with this. And I'm going to divide it, and I'm going to conquer it. And you have to trust in God to really accomplish that. You have to have faith. You have to trust that God, in the midst of that situation, is going to help you and is willing to help you prevail. And that is how we take the first bite. Secondly, there's a Jewish expression of worry gets put on appointment. Worry gets put on appointment. What do I mean by that? Worry can't rule you. Worry can't dictate your response. Only God can. Well, easier said than done. You're right. There's a time and a season for everything, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time for worry, but not in the way that our flesh wants to. That is, there is a time to pay attention to a problem or a situation so that we may solve it and not simply stare at it. But there is a time to deal with it. As I said, you can't start taking apart the elephant if you don't approach it. Does that mean that you have to stop what you're doing? No. Does it mean that it has to be 100% of your occupation? No. Hence why it needs to be put on appointment. It's something that's important, but it may be something that can be set at a time of your choosing. Why? Because it prevents worry from ruling you instead of God. It prevents worry from taking the place of God as an object or person of worship. It gives you a chance to prepare and strengthen to face it on your and His terms. It prevents you from being distracted from doing what you need to be doing. Sometimes worry takes precedence because it's coming across as, this is urgent, and you need to pay attention to me now, like a spoiled child. But we need to put worry in an appointment saying, no, I'll deal with you later. But I'm going to deal with you at a specific time and not just procrastinate. And it may take some thinking of, when can I get time to do this? When can I find time to sit down and think about this? And that's going to be part of the next point. By putting worry on appointment, it stops the drain, the hemorrhaging of your hope, of your courage, of your energy, of your efforts, of your resources, and of your focus. It puts you back in charge. And it gives you the strength to overcome it instead of being occupied with it. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He will not permit the righteous to be moved, ever. He will not permit you to be moved. If you put the burden, if you put all that worry wants you to focus on the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, but I know You're with me. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do about this, but I know You're going to give me wisdom. And we're going to sit down and figure this out together at an appointed time, real soon. Even if it starts out with me crying out before You, that's an appointment. That's putting worry to the side. And then you go about your business. Casting your burden means putting the weight of it on somebody else. It means not that you're not going to deal with it, but that you're not going to walk under it right now. And that's where God comes in. That's where Jesus says, cast your cares upon Me, and I will help you. That's why Jesus says, My burden is easy and My yoke is light. Not because He's just going to give you whatever your little heart desires, but to encourage you in saying, you can get there. There may be some sacrifices. There may be some pain. But you will prevail. Point three. So how do we actually get this done? You need to repeat what gets you further and retreat from what holds you back. You need to repeat what gets you further and retreat from what holds you back. There are things that you will do that will hold you back with solving a problem. Focusing on the worry without a practical solution is one of them. You drain yourself of energy. And then what happens? You're tired. And then what happens? I can't deal with this. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to distract myself. And guess what? The problem doesn't go away in the morning. It's right there. And you repeat the cycle. That's repeating something that doesn't give you strength that doesn't get you further. That's repeating something that keeps you right where you are, and that's called imprisonment. And that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is repeating what gets you further. Let me give you an example of somebody who did that in 2 Chronicles 15, 8 and 9. We're going to talk about King Asa. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with him, with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw the Lord his God was with him. Now therein lies the template of how we go about conquering something that we are worried about. First, we need to approach it. We need to divide and conquer it. First, we need to take that first bite by trusting that the Lord is going to be part of the solution and approach the problem, second, at an appointed time. That should be a time that you agree you're going to deal with it and then carry on. And between the time that you make that appointment should be spent encouraging yourself in the Lord and in the word of the Lord, just like Asa did, because he heard the word of the Lord. He heard the word of the Lord from Oded the prophet, who spoke the very words of God. Not pop psychology, not something nice, you know, oh, it's going to be fine. Tomorrow's a better day. No, it was the word of the Lord. We need to get the word of the Lord in us to be prepared to deal with the things that our worries and our problems present to us. So between the time that you are dealing with worry and say, I am putting you on appointment, I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do with the Lord on this later. And between now and then, to encourage yourself in the word of the Lord and believe that God has the answers for you. Not in some pie in the sky, impractical way, but truly trusting that God, who created the universe in 6 days and had time to take a day off, could probably figure out what you need to do. And not just by the skin of your teeth. Because that gives you courage. We see that Asa, having heard the word of the Lord and believing it, took courage, not took worry, not took procrastination, not took doubt, not took diminished fear. He took courage. Because courage springs from the word of the Lord and from believing it. Second, it says that he removed the idols. Now, this may be an optional step for you, but are there idols? Is there sin that is causing your problem? If that's true, if that applies, remove them. Take the idols down off the shelf where you worship. Remove them, that they are no longer a place of honor in your life and in your attentions. Don't visit them anymore. That is the beginning of dissecting and digesting the elephant. Next, it says that he restored the altar of the Lord. This too may be optional, depending on your circumstances. Ask yourself, is there a lack of obedience? Is there a lack of worship? Is there a lack of action of God in your life? If so, correct that. Restore the relationship by giving God time, reading the word, praying, listening to him. Why? We see in the scriptures that even Elijah followed this principle when he brought reformation to Israel under Baal worship. The very first thing he did as a part of public ministry was to restore the altar of the Lord when he stood on Mount Carmel with the 900 prophets of Baal and Asherah. He walked up, he took the altar that had been broken down, and he restored it. And that did something spiritually. It laid a foundation of now we can work. Now we have reconnected to power. Now change can happen because you have put in first place what should be there. And so it is with us. That if we restore our obedience to God and not walking in absolute disobedience, if we restore spending time worshiping the Lord in action and in heart, if we spend time restoring relationship with God, that is going to affect what we're struggling with. And because of that, it says that the peoples from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon of the tribal lands from Israel came and began to fellowship with them. Came because they said, God is with you. And it did something in them. God will send others to help you as you restore that foundation in your life. Why does God send people? Because it's going to give you strength. It's going to give you support. It's going to give you encouragement on top of what he has already established. So that you do not walk alone. Because God is with you. And finally, gather strength by spending time with others in the Lord. Not avoiding the problem, but encouraging yourself. Because again, the focus of conquering and digesting that elephant is not about dealing with the problem 100% of the time. It's not about every time you talk to somebody, it's let me tell you my problem. When it comes to how are you feeling today, the first words out of your mouth cannot be, I'm okay because, and I'll let me tell you about my personal relationship with my problem. Let me introduce you to my intimate relationship with my fears and doubts and unbelief. Because that cannot define us. That cannot be part of your character. That has no room in defining who you are. Who is? The Lord God. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for your life. The Lord has defined you. The Lord has fashioned you exactly the way he intended. Whether you're freckled, fat, whatever you are, it's intended by God and he can perfect it through his word and his process. And your problems have no place in that. We are not defined by our problems. Sometimes it's been said, well, we're defined by our flaws. Because of his mercy. Because your flaws are overcome in spite of those flaws by his mercy, which does define you. We gather strength by spending time with others and fellowshipping about what God is doing. And what God is doing in their life. And what's going on. Why? Because it gets your mind off of that. Yes, it distracts you. Even the world agrees that if you have anxiety, if you have worry, if you're a little mashuga in the head, you need to distract yourself. And the only thing that's worth being distracted about is God. And what God is doing in others. To take a break from that because it can't rule you and it can't be the place that you worship. And by spending time with others, God may even use them to speak wisdom into your life and inspire you. Just like it was with Asa. So, when you're dealing with a problem, you need to commit to not running away from it and hiding from it, but to deal with it. You need to deal with it on God's terms after you've decided in your heart that God is going to be part of the solution and that he is able to help you. And you are going to do that by putting it on an appointment to deal with it at an appointed time to begin to sit down with God and say, now what am I going to do? And if you don't have wisdom for it, ask the Lord. And if you still don't have wisdom, ask somebody who has demonstrated wisdom in the Lord. A pastor, a pastor's wife, somebody who has had victory in the thing that you're struggling with. And third, to tear down any idols, to tear down any obstacles, to start restoring the relationship and the altar of God in your life so that you might have strength and power and to be able to fellowship with other people and spend time with other people so that the sole purpose of your life is not to sit under the shadow of doom. And you watch how quickly that will change. Because you now no longer worship it. Because now you no longer have an idol taking up all that space in your life. Does that mean ignore the problem? No. Does it mean just go, well, you know, someday it's going to work itself out? No. You do have to think about it. But again, at an appointed time, I'm going to spend an hour on this and I'm going to work on this. I'm going to take a bite out of this. That gives you power. That gives you hope. That gives you life. And that is what Jesus wants for us. So Father, I thank you for everyone listening. God, I ask that you would help them to overcome whatever it is that they're worried about. Whatever fear, doubt, or unbelief they're struggling with. God, I pray, help them to overthrow that idol. Help it not to rule over them and define them. And that, Lord God, that they would come to you and get wisdom from you and from those who you choose. Help them to overcome their problems, their fears, and to walk free as they cast their burdens on you and deal with them one bite at a time. In Jesus' name, amen.